So anyways, within this, throughout this process, we got into, you know, we were ready to go. We've got money. We still have the money. And, you know, we're ready to rock, but we've ran into this crab issue. And it's very significant, and it's much bigger, I think, than most people realize, especially the science community. Because one thing we started doing was we started piecing, you know, throughout this process, we started piecing together the whys of a lot of things that we maybe thought we understood before. And, for example, I mean, I can go in, you know, go into some of the details as to, you know, why this has happened, but one thing that was interesting is that a lot of the stuff that we thought was cutting edge on our end, it's turned out this it's already been done before. And as far as research, and to the DMR's credit, back in the 50s and 60s, and also to credit a person I'd never met, his name is Dana Wallace. He worked for the Department of Marine Resources for a long time. I never met the man, but the stuff that I've read and the research that he completed was incredible. And this actual green crab phenomenon or explosion, population explosion, actually took place in the 1950s when we experienced a weather pattern or you know, a climate very similar to what we've experienced these last 10 years. And you know, so we've really learned a lot about what the impacts of climate change, and these crabs are probably, you know, these are the number one threat to every resource in the marine resource environment that we know of. We don't, you know, there may be other diseases and stuff we haven't encountered, but from what we've learned about these crabs, they are, you know, they're destroying Maine's coastal resources, and it's no one's fault. You know, I mean, it's you know, like I said, it's just the more we've researched. I mean, the research is extensive. I didn't really I didn't attach all the paperwork to the studies that have been done. You know, Canada has been spending a tremendous amount of money on studying the green crab lobster interactions, shellfish interactions. There's tons of stuff out there. It's incredible the research that was done in the 50s. I mean, they've gone as far as to study the stomach contents of green crabs and count the individual clams in them and you know, fencing, trapping, all kinds of stuff's been researched. So we have the good thing is we have a wealth of information. The problem is that we really haven't, as an industry or as a state, we really haven't addressed this problem. We've basically ignored it. And I don't know. I think a lot of it is that once we've learned the impact that weather has on these creatures, these invasive species, is that, you know, we've had weather patterns, and as we all know, weather fluctuates. So we get, you know, we get a cold spell, we get a couple of cold years. Well, we've since realized that that actually knocks their population back considerably, and so a lot of resources that, you know, we were using haven't been predated yet until recently in the shellfish resources. And like I said, for one example that I put in this bullet, I mean, the shellfish harvesters that I work with are now referring to all marine species as menu items. They're no longer, you know, what we refer to as, you know, we don't call lobsters, you know, lobsters on the menu. You know, green crabs, scallops, clams, quahogs, those are menu items is what they are for this creature, and they're eating them all. They're eating everything, and so, anyways, you know, like I said, we're seeing huge changes in the ecosystems. Huge. I mean, it's immeasurable the changes we're seeing. We're seeing at the Coastal Conservation Association banquet supper on Thursday night. They on their PowerPoint they had data that supported a 90% decline in striped bass populations in the last 10 years. You know, that's a pretty big decline in striped bass. Why? You know, I don't know if that's related necessarily to green crabs, but we do know that green crabs are eating the eggs of most of the shallow forage fish species. We know this. It's well documented. They're eating the babies of everything that's in the shallow subtidal and intertidal zone.